The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Come out and stand to your feet!
All right. Everything's going to be all right. Hello, I am Dr. Howard, your host today on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM. I'm here with my co-host, First Lady Vanessa Howard, transforming, overcoming, and impacting the world with the gospel. Our mission is this: to impact the world with the transformational power of the gospel. Through real talk, biblical teaching, testimonials, discipleship, practical living, and life coaching. Call in right now at 888-329-3306. Today's topic, faith in the marketplace. And before we go into prayer and introducing our wonderful, wonderful guests, I would like to give a shout out to our sponsor, one of our sponsors, 30 Main Restaurant and Catering. And for you who call in, there are two special gift certificates, $50. And you can take your wife out, your boo, your friend, whoever you'd like to take, or just even a business lunch for those who call in. So call in now, 888-329-3300. Amen. And First Lady Vanessa Howard, my co-host, can you introduce our special guests, Mike DeCaro, Nathan W. Jameson, and Fritz Beiswinger? Do we have Fritz on the line?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Amen. Glory to God. So glad that you're here. But before we even do that, I'm going to have Minister Mike, or Michael, some may say, Dombrowski, open us up with a word of prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Howard. Let's go to our God. Almighty Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good Father to us. We thank you, Lord, that you provide for all of our needs. We thank you that your grace and your kingdom expands into every sector, every part of our lives.
Thank you.
God, as we look this day, as we look this time at how your grace expands into the marketplace, Father, I just pray that you would open our eyes to your goodness in the entire world, all around us, just in all of your creation, in all of your beauty, in all of your order, your structure, the amazing ways that you have made us. Lord, we thank you that you have made us a peculiar people, a people that can rejoice in the good times and the bad, in financial troubles and financial blessings. Lord, we give you all the glory for everything, and we pray that it will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Mike Dombrowski, for that prayer. Amen. To God be the glory. And for those out there who need prayer right now, call us, 888-329-3306. Amen. And we will pray for you and your family and your ministries and your communities and your business. May God bless you and keep you. And I do see that Mike DeCaro is on the line as well. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Dr. Howard.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. Whatever it is always morning, because morning by morning, new mercies I see. So praise be to God. God bless you, sir, and Fritz as well. First Lady Vanessa Howard, my co-host, will be introducing each of you. But I just want to give a quick shout out to all of you who are new friends, old friends, Fritz, we go back a long time now, a long time, and I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Nathan is a new friend, a friend of my best friend, one of my best friends and dear brothers in the Lord, and I thank God for Nathan being here as well. And then Mike DeCaro, amen, praise be to God, my newest friend and special guest as well as Nathan and Fritz. Mike DeCaro also happens to be my daughter's basketball coach at Scheibe. So praise be to God. And First Lady, roll the dice.
All right. We will begin with Nathan Jameson. Nathan Jameson is a husband, father, and a business owner. His and his wife, Robin, live in Berwyn with their four children, amen, ages 4 to 14. The Jamesons attend Church of the Savior in Wayne, where Nathan serves as an elder. From the experience of their own desire for and journey toward a deeper life in God, together they began intimate allies to fight for the hearts of men and women. Nathan is also the founder of ARX Ventures, a real estate investment, development, and property management firm. Other fast facts about Nathan Jameson. Nathan grew up in North Carolina. He is the oldest of three. He and Robin met and married in college at UNC Greensboro, where they were both student athletes. Nathan was a four-year-old starter on the basketball team and a first-team academic All-American selection his senior year. All right.
Yes, yes.
They moved to Pennsylvania in 2002 and lived in Bethlehem before moving to Wayne in 2006. Other than spending time with his wife and children, Nathan's greatest joy is being other men experience the healing, restoration, and freedom available through life and Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, First Lady, and thank you, Nathan, for being one of our special guests here today. And may God continue to bless your family, your church family, and your business and kingdom ministry. Amen. First Lady, you can go right ahead to our next guest with the bio introduction.
Mike DeCaro is an educator who has worked over the last 15 years in both Montgomery and Bucks County as a teacher and a principal. He currently teaches English and gifted education to middle school students in the Pendridge School District. While English and gifted education are important to Mike, the growth of the entire student is what motivates him to teach, lead, and mentor students. As a student teacher in a Christian university, Mike was given a placement in a public school setting where the Lord guided Mike's heart to teach in the public school system. Mike and his wife, Lindsay, daughter Julia, and Hannah, have attended Calvary Church in Soderton for over 15 years and currently serve in a variety of men's, women's, and family ministries there.
Amen. Amen. And Mike, praise be to God for all that you do. And may God continue to bless your family and your works and your ministry. Amen.
Okay. We have Fritz Beiswanger. Am I saying it correctly?
That's Beiswanger.
Beiswanger. Thank you so much. As Chief Financial Officer, Fritz Beiswanger is responsible for financial strategy and for overseeing all aspects of administration and finance for DealerMax. His career spans more than 30 years of varied experience in financial management, business leadership, and strategic planning. As a senior manager and trusted advisor to the executive team, his duties include treasury and cash management, risk mitigation, general accounting, financial reporting, internal auditing, tax compliance, and human resources. He also is responsible for maintaining banking relationships and developing operating strategic and capital improvement plans. Prior to his current position, Fritz has held position as Chief Financial Officer for Maxim Track and Maxim Automotive Products. Fritz also served as a regional controller for AudioVox Corporation, where he was responsible for implementing and maintaining management and financial controls for Quintex Mid-Atlantic retail operations. Frist earned a master's degree in public policy from Regent University and a Bachelor of Science degree in operations management from the Pennsylvania State University. Most importantly, Fritz gave his heart to Jesus Christ 39 years ago and strives Amen. To reflect God's will and ways in the marketplace by leading with honesty, integrity, and wholeness. Thank you so much, Fritz, for being on
Amen.
The show.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mike.
We thank God for all of our guests
and
all of our special guests, because each one of you are truly men of God.
Amen.
Doing a great work in your own right mm-hmm. in the marketplace. But faith in the marketplace is what we are dealing with today.
Yes.
And it would not be right if we did not move forward with the scripture mm-hmm. moment right now. And that scripture is found in Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, mm-hmm. starting at verse 14 and ending at verse 16, and it reads like this. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house, my God. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The word of God for the people of God. Let the folks listening and in the studio say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And right now, I just want to throw that first question out, which will get us going and grooving. Amen. Faith in the marketplace. And don't forget to call in, all you listeners out there. There are two $50 gift certificates from 30 Main sitting right in front of me. We can mail them out to you. To God be the glory. The first question on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM, is this. Regarding faith in the marketplace. What does marketplace ministry mean to you personally? And I'm going to throw that ball at Fritz first, and then Nathan, and then Mike in that order.
Thank you so much, Dr. Howard and Vanessa, for inviting me on the show today. I have to say, when Manny first asked me, Dr. Howard asked me, my initial response is, sounds terrifying. But, you know, he quickly called me down off of that rafter. And so here we are today. And, you know, faith in the marketplace for me has to start with the fact that 39 years ago, I lived in darkness.
Mm.
And the only thing that I had was the understanding to go into work to make as much money as I could make, and that was the definition of success.
Mm.
I always had a goal of, you know, just making money. That to me, that seemed to be the way to do it and the way to live. And after I graduated from Penn State, I had a huge hole in my heart, a great emptiness. I remember receiving my diploma from Penn State and just kind of throwing it on the counter after I got it and saying, okay, what's next? This is like, what's the purpose? What's the big deal? The long and short of it is I was lost. I had a deep, dark hole in my soul. And Christ, I met Christ through actually my mother. She told me about Jesus and, you know, I had a day where I accepted Christ in my heart, and the journey started there. But to your question, what does marketplace ministry mean to me? First and foremost, it means that understanding that we have two callings in the world. One is the, I'll call it the dominion mandate, where Jesus said we need to go into the world, or God said go and have dominion. Take dominion over the earth, subdue it, put it under subjection. Take authority over it. We are called to be God's vice regents on the earth.
Mm.
And the second calling we have is the Great Commission, that while we are doing this work, we are to preach the gospel to the nations. And if that means your next door neighbor, that's part of it. That's part of the Great Commission.
Mm.
And underneath that, there's divine ownership, that God owns everything. So what we do in the marketplace, the money that we make, the things that we do, is to be poured back into God's kingdom to expand his purposes. And I'll tell you, for the last 33 years, I've been blessed to work for the Maxim family, Jim Maxim and his family, Jim Maxim Jr.
Amen.
This family is devoted to Jesus. They love God. And at the core DNA, the foundation of our business, is exactly that. To do the work that we do, to sow into God's kingdom, to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So not everybody has a call, if you will, to work in ministry, in a sense of working for a church or being employed by a church. But we all have the call of preaching the gospel where God plants us. And to that, it's work. And our work is holy before God.
Mm.
It's separated unto God.
I love that.
And our work is as holy before God as a pastor's work is. Now, believe me, pastor's work is extremely, it's a calling. It's an anointing, and it's a special calling.
Mm.
Not everybody can be that. But I'm saying that just to know, because I struggled for years thinking, well, I'm not in the ministry. I don't, you know, I'm not a full-time pastor. But you know, it took some time to realize that what I do is important to God.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Mm.
I love that.
Don't stop, Fritz. No, it's all good. it was getting so good to me. I was like eating a piece of cake, chocolate cake over here. But
right,
what you're saying is wonderful. Continue.
Well, I don't want to dominate.
Fritz, he's passing the plate in here.
Amen. 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 Well, I just want to say something real quick to what you said and then have the other brothers jump back on. But you said something very profound, you know, to take a mandate from God, to take dominion and to take authority of the land and subdue it. And then the second point, you said the Great Commission, which we're called to as believers. Amen, to do that. And then divine ownership and pouring back into kingdom ministry. We can't all be worship leaders. We can't all be pastors. We can't all be elders. We can't all be evangelists or teachers. But what we all can be is those who share the good news of Jesus. And we can also share our resources with those who are doing the work. So thank you, Fritz. Amen.
Out of everything he said, what I love the most is the fact that everyone's not called into ministry. And when you realize that the Great Commission is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, he never said it within the confinement of the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, when you think about the marketplace, it's everywhere. It's not just a church. We go to church to be empowered, to allow the Lord to minister to us through the word of the Lord. But what do you do with that? Then you take it out into the world. And so that is powerful. You know, you can't keep chasing the pulpit, right? But God has called each of us to ministry, whether it's behind a pulpit, whether it's to be a police officer, whether it's to be a business owner. Our responsibility is to take it with us wherever we go.
Yeah, and none of those options are more or less important than the other.
Amen. Mm. I love it.
Amen, because we all need one another. The arm needs the legs, and the leg needs the head, and we're all, you know, many members, but one body. Amen.
Yes.
So I thank God for you, Fritz, and what you just said that empowered not only us here in the studio, but all of our listeners throughout the greater Philadelphia area and beyond. And we thank God for you. And who's up next on deck? I believe it's Nathan, if I'm correct.
Fritz, I was really blessed by your answer, and especially your looking at the call to rule and subdue, which is something I think so often missed as followers of Jesus Christ go out into the world, and that partnering with God, with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the light that we talk about here, that we're not hiding, but it's like a city on a hill. And for me, you know, one of the questions I'm constantly asking myself in ministry, in the workplace, is, am I confounding? They look at Jesus Christ confounded the world. And, he, you know, when the crowds began to gather, his disciples came to him and said, hey, let's, you know, they're coming together. He said, oh, you know what? Let's leave. Let's go somewhere else. Conversely, when they wanted to kill him, he went right into the lion's den. Jesus constantly confounded those who were interested in him. And so I think that at some level, without being self-focused, one of my calls in the marketplace is to confound those who have an opinion of what Jesus stands for, who he is. And so I hope that, you know, whether that's beginning a meeting with prayer or just examples come to mind where I wasn't in the right in a situation and I called and made an apology, which is not a very strategic business thing to do often. Often we're seeking to gain advantage over someone else in business. And I chose the lowest seat in that particular situation.
That's good.
Which creates an opportunity then for Christ to shine, not for me to shine, but for his light in me to be seen.
That's good. That's good.
Amen.
You know, that's good. You know, taking that low seat for Christ, because when we think about it, and I was watching the Passion of the Christ Saturday night, and I shared it with some men earlier this morning, but I was weeping. I was weeping. And believe me, I'm a linebacker, ex-linebacker, captain of the defense. I don't like to cry unless we lost by one. And the reality is this. I was weeping because I looked at what Christ, the blood dripping down his back, the crown pressed upon his forehead and skull, blood running down his face, and the lashings and the spit being spat upon, and all of that he did for us, all of us, the believer and the unbeliever alike. And that's why we're here today, to just share Jesus with you. Amen. But thank you for that, Nathan, your comments there. Thank you.
Amen.
And Mike, you're on deck.
All right. Well, I think for me, I think it's, how am I Christ to those who I interact with, right? So there's a lot of relationships in the education world, whether it's coworkers, whether it's students, whether it's those who the Lord has put ahead of you in responsibility, and the way that you treat them, the way that you speak with them, the example that I set as a Christ follower, right? So there's times where I need to be bold and proclaim the gospel very clearly, you know, and that others, there's no confusion. And there are times to set an example. You know, just as often those examples often, you know, bring about those conversations that you're hoping to have, right? Those bold moments that you want to have often come after those moments where you've set an example, where you've been a good listener, where you've shown what is right by what you do, not necessarily just what it is that you say. You know, immediately to my mind came Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I think that, gosh, we're in a world today in 2021 where we need peace, right? And
my Lord,
you know, there's so much unrest, there's so much difficulty, you know, things that people are struggling that they've never had to struggle with before. And you know, if I can be a vessel of God's peace, I'm doing my job. My marketplace ministry is vibrant if I'm helping others receive peace.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. And that's, you said something very profound there. If I can be a vessel of God's peace. And I know that there's many listeners out there right now who are listening to what's being said and the comments and the questions and the answers and being encouraged, because we need peace right now in our world, in our society, in the marketplace like never before. And the peace comes from a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Peace does not come from the bottle. Peace does not come from the drug. Peace does not come from the pornography. Peace does not come from the abuse and all of those things. Peace does not come that way, but we know that peace comes from a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus the Christ, and we thank God for that.
I really appreciate the fact that Mike discussed there are times where you have to boldly proclaim the word of the Lord, right? So that there is no confusion, because we are the light, salt and light of the world. And he wants our light to shine, not to be dimmed down or be put in a basket like the scripture was saying. But I got this from Dr. Winston. He said, Christianity was never meant to be dictated, but to be demonstrated. And so Amen. As long as we are a demonstration of the light of the God, then we're doing our job. You know, sometimes, you know, for myself, I get frustrated, you know, when I am in the marketplace and I'm not within the church setting. And it's like, you know, I want to say something. And sometimes it's not the right time to say anything, but just to be a demonstration of the love of Christ says a lot. You know, Pastor, we say that all the time. You know, here I am calling you pastor because you wear multiple hats, right?
Amen. All of the above.
Yes.
Amen.
Be a witness.
Thank you for that, First Lady, because, you know, it's amazing not to be, what to say, dictated, but be demonstrated. And I think that's the heart of evangelism.
Amen.
That's the true heart of ministry. Mm-hmm. We're not to beat people over the head with the Bible or with scripture, because right. that won't work. It didn't work on me when I was doing my own thing. And it did not work when everyone was doing their own thing. But amen to that. And I thank God for you, Mike, and your witness today with those comments. And I thank each of our guests. And right now, we have a caller on the line who is very near and dear to me and has been a mentor and a coach and a father and a friend over many years. And that is my presiding elder, Charles H. Lett, Sr. of the West Main Line District of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And that if you're there, presiding elder, come on and give us, just impart something in us, all of us, and our listeners.
Good afternoon, Dr. Howard and First Lady Vanessa. First, I just would like to commend you on this show that you have, this transformational show. I really enjoyed your speakers. Today, your special guests, they all sound like men that are out in the marketplace, out in business, and I really enjoyed the testimonies on how we can take ministry out to wherever we work or interact with people.
Amen.
Yes, and one last thing, I think that
you there?
Yeah.
Amen. I think we're having a little difficulty hearing you now, but praise be to God, Elder, Presiding Elder Lett. And guess what? I know Sister Sylvia Lett, Consultant Sylvia Lett, will be very happy to know that you, as our first caller in, will receive a $50 gift certificate to one of our sponsors, 30 Main Restaurant and Catering in Berwyn, Pennsylvania.
Woohoo!
Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. And that will be sent to your home here today. God bless
all
you.
Right.
And thank
God
you.
God bless you.
And God bless you all. Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Amen. Can we jump on to our next question? This is a juicy one. How did your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ transform you through a little curveball and your life? And we'll start with Fritz, and we'll go to Nathan, then we'll go to Mike.
Man, there's not enough time in this show.
Well, look. 3 minutes. Give it to us in 3 minutes.
All right. Well, I shared a little bit of how I lived in darkness, deep darkness, when I was, a young man, 22, 23 years old. I was a musician. I played in a rock and roll band. I spent a lot of evenings in bars and nightclubs. I had a band in Pittsburgh that was ranked one of the top 20 bands in the city of Pittsburgh.
My God.
A lot of darkness.
Yeah.
A lot of darkness in the nightclubs, a lot of darkness in the music. And I believe that I was on the verge of hell. If I would have kept down that road, I don't think I would be here today to talk about it.
My Lord.
But God. See, Jesus came into my heart, and he began the transformation process. And a lot of the transformation process after I received Jesus was removing, I'll call it surface stuff. You know, he took away the drugs, he took away the alcohol, he took away the just the lifestyle. I rejected, it was because of Christ, was able to get out of that lifestyle. In the meantime, about a year after that, I went down to Regent University and studied in the School of Public Policy. Now, if you're familiar with that, that's the Christian Broadcasting Network, where the 700 Club broadcasts.
Oh, yes.
Well, I was in the founding School of Public Policy, and that was in 1982. It really was, they called it CBNU. This is Christian Boot Camp, not Utopia. And it was there that God began to absolutely transform my life. And one of the things that stuck with me forever and still does is Romans 12:2. Yes. Be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So over the last 39 years, God began a process of transforming my way of thinking to the Word of God. The Word of God comes in and basically cleanses, washes, renews. And he kept going deeper and deeper and deeper until, I mean, it was even, I didn't share this, but I have 5 kids and 6 grandchildren and a beautiful wife named Nancy, who's an absolute saint.
Yes, Lord.
My point is that what the transformation that really pivoted me was when I understood the love of God in my life and overcame, and I'll call it, I don't know what else to call this, but a spirit of rejection.
My.
See, the spirit of rejection comes in and tells you,
Jesus,
you're too fat. You're stupid.
Jesus.
You'll never amount to anything.
Say that. Mm-hmm.
You'll never make a patch on your father's behind.
Jesus.
You're a failure. Why don't you just go, drive your car off a cliff?
That kind of thing.
And it was this spirit that God basically, he drove it out of my life. Because now I understand the love of God. See, God's crazy about his kids. He loves them. He loves them.
Yes,
he says,
does.
Hey, have you seen Manny's doing a radio show? Have you seen Pastor Howard? Look at Vanessa. You ever heard her sing? Holy cow, she's amazing. She's amazing.
Amen.
And that's God. God is our biggest and best cheerleader. He's cheering us on. So when those thoughts come now to me, and they come to all of us, you just have to simply remind yourself of whose you are in Jesus.
Come on.
We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
You preach.
We are more than conquerors.
Yes. Amen.
And as you build yourself up and renew your mind in the Word of God, without that, you're going to be absolutely anemic in the marketplace. You will not be able to reach your full potential without understanding who you are and whose you are in Christ.
Amen. Amen, Fritz. Thank you for that encouraging word. I know that our listeners are encouraged. They're inspired. They're being transformed. They're realizing that they can overcome right now and then be overcomers to impact the world with the gospel and with the, you know, the great service to others, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Nathan?
Yeah, Fritz used the word there, process. Really, I think, captures that. You know, as I read the question, it's, you know, transform makes it sound like it's done. And the truest testimony is it is being done every day,
amen,
moment by moment.
Amen.
And so I have a prayer every morning that I pray. I ask the Lord to reveal where you're working in my life. And the Holy Spirit will point that out. And so the transformation that's occurring, I think Fritz even referenced levels. You know, God can't get to the deeper levels until he deals with what's at the higher levels.
Yes,
and as,
Elder,
as he deals with that, then we get to see the next layer down, the next layer down, as we're continually sanctified by him at those deeper levels. And so for me, the transformation, and different than Fritz, I was raised in the church. I made a profession of faith. Walked down the aisle as a young 8 or 9 year old.
Amen.
And I think one of the impacts for me was I was confused about what was Christian and what was culture. Growing up in that.
That's good.
And I think candidly, you know, a lot of our young people, a lot of our churches have that. And so we've sanctified things that weren't meant to be sanctified. Attitudes, traditions. And Jesus comes and strips those things away. And that's good. Been part of my transformation is getting down, what is the essence of the life of Christ living in me,
amen,
versus what is something that man has made as a tradition? Jesus.
My God, thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for that. That struggle between, you know, culture and Christianity is still even a struggle today for many of our listeners out there. That spirit flesh, that thing that is always upon us, and that's why we have to pick up our cross daily, and we have to come together with other brothers and sisters as iron sharpens iron. We have to maintain a posture of prayer, study, and fasting. Thank you, Nathan and Mike.
Yeah, I think both Fritz and Nathan really covered a lot of the internal piece. I think the only other piece that I think is meaningful is that, you know, it's the way that I look at others too. You know, I think that when I am transformed by Jesus, you know, and I think what Nathan said about a daily, and what you said about a taking up your cross daily, it's, you know, it's much more difficult for me to be sinful, prideful, selfish, judgmental. When I'm being transformed, right? When I'm spending time with Jesus, when it's spending time in his word, I'm praying, you know, doing the things that I should be doing. It's a lot harder to be that way. It's a lot easier to be what Christ wants us to be, humble, selfless, and cognizant of my own sin before I start to consider the sin of other people. You know, I think that, you know, the transformation is first inward, I think, like Fritz said, and I think that transformation really begins to impact others and have a impact on the marketplace, right, and then our ministry, amen, when we take that transformation that starts on the inside, that's most important on the inside, and then manifests itself, you know, in the way that we look, act, and treat other people.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
I do want to say
that is good. Go ahead, First Lady. Amen.
You know, as Nathan was talking about the different cultures that we have in the world, you know, the world that we live in today is different from the Adam generation, and God's intent and the culture that he wanted to cultivate, you know, from the first man and the first woman. And so I wanted to read the scripture. Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success."
My God.
And so when we apply the word of the Lord in our life, we will be prosperous, and we will be successful. And the different cultures that we have today, doesn't always scream out Jesus. And so we are in a spiritual war where he wants us to be his ambassadors. He wants us to be the light and go into the world and declare and demonstrate the word of the Lord so that we could continue the legacy and the culture that he intended for us originally.
Amen, First Lady. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out in that scripture, because the reality is we have to be ambassadors and we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. But we're going to take a break here shortly, and you're going to get to listen to that amazing voice that Fritz talked about, Vanessa Howard, First Lady Vanessa Howard, singer-songwriter. You will hear her, one of her new songs, All Right. Everything's going to be all right, people. Amen. WWDB 860 AM. Total Transformation Radio.
Come on and stand to your feet.
Dr. Howard, your host, First Lady Vanessa Howard, your co-host here on WWDB 860 AM, Total Transformation Radio. We still need some folks to call in. We gave away one gift certificate, oh God, $50 to 30 Main, one of our sponsors, and a restaurant where you can take out your boo. But let us get back to business here, God's business, faith in the marketplace. And this third question But before I do that, Minister Mike wants to say something. Mike Dombrowski.
Yeah, one of the things that I was just hearing from a lot of our special guests today, and something that just seemed to kind of connect all of them, is this transformation that I have seen where the kingdom is sort of an upside-down kingdom. The kingdom of God, it's so different. And just the way that Nathan, Elder Nathan, spoke about how we are just confounding the world. Now, our whole world is kind of coming at success, like First Lady of Nesterhauer was talking about, from the idea of dominance. Now, all you need to do is go on YouTube and look at a comment section. Everything in that is based on dominance.
My God.
It's trying to get the upper hand. Where are we coming from? We're not coming from a place of dominance.
Jesus.
We're always coming from underneath.
That's good.
We're viewing all of the people, even the people that are quote unquote below us. We are always viewing them from below, the idea of servitude, service, because it's not about winning.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
This whole world, it wants to make you believe that this is about winning. But what does winning look like in the Christian life?
Come on.
I think that's a question we need to start asking ourselves, just in general, because it doesn't look like the way the world thinks of winning.
My God.
Matter of fact, a lot of times it looks like losing to the world.
Come on.
But that's not Jesus's way. Jesus won by dying.
My God.
He said he came so that
serve. My God.
The greatest among you are servants.
Exactly.
Servants.
Yeah.
Come on.
My God.
I love
Thank
that.
You. Thank you, Minister Mike, for that, because that was a word. And, you know, we just thank God for what God is doing, how he's flipping things, basically reversing it.
Yeah.
And we thank God for that. So thank you for that comment. And I know that our listeners out there are encouraged and have been strengthened not only by the questions and our special guests answering, but also the prayer and also the music that has gone forth. Check out Vanessa Howard music, myvanessahoward.com. Amen. Check it out. The next question here is this. I'm going to jump down to number 4. How are you currently impacting the marketplace as a result of your transformation and the things you have overcome in your life? And we'll start with Fritz and then go down in that order.
Okay.
2-minute warning.
All right.
No, go right ahead. Let the Lord use you.
Well, like I had mentioned before, I have a very unique opportunity and have since working for the Maxim family and Dealer Max. The DNA of our business is Christian. So that's the unique opportunity, because at the very helm of the company is ran by Christians who follow God's principles, who, you know, I don't have to hide my faith in the marketplace. And I know a lot of times people who work in a different kind of business that isn't God-centered at the top, you know, they really many times can't be open about their faith. There's you know, policies sometimes against that.
Yeah.
But my opportunity with Dealer Max is something I believe is very special, because Manny, you know the Maxim family, you know what Jim is doing now with his international prayer ministry.
Yes.
And so the work that we're doing through Dealer Max and the impact we're having on the kingdom is we're able to fund in part this international prayer outreach.
Praise God.
And Jim is on the radio every day with a moment of prayer. And, you know, he has a profound impact. And Jim has often said to me, he said, you know, look, you know, there's only one person who's has the camera on them.
Mm.
And he used to use the example of Johnny Carson. But behind Johnny Carson is a whole group of people that are making him do the things that he can do. And in that way, my ministry in as a finance person, the financial bodyguard of the company, making sure that the horses are staying in the stalls and we're in compliance with law and managing everything the proper way frees him up and to do what his calling is and what his mission is at this point in his life. And so that's how we're impacting the marketplace now based on the transformation. Like I couldn't do what I'm doing now if God had not transformed me then.
Amen. Thank you, Fritz, for sharing that. And we thank God for Dealer Max, and we thank God for the Maxim family, which is truly my family. We are blood and spirit, and I thank God for them. We got Nathan, 30 seconds, and we have Mike, 30 seconds. Amen.
Yeah, I think for me, Mike referenced the internal transformation leading to the outward. And that's a critical transition that has to occur. And in my own life, I think as I became a business owner, I was fond of saying, oh, it's God's business. It's God's business. But I didn't really understand what that meant. And so today, as we encounter challenges, difficulties, and through the help of some mentoring here, is if we have an issue, I don't try to solve it on my own. I tell Jesus, your business has a problem. Amen. You need a new employee, or we don't know what to do about this employee. We don't know whether to do this deal. And we invite him to speak into that through his word, through the Holy Spirit, versus me saying, that's God's business. Now I'm going to go do everything on my own.
My God. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. Mike?
Sure. Relationships is kind of a point that I spoke about before. You know, I'm a trusted adult to kids, right? A trusted friend to coworkers, an example to those who I'm working with. When those relationships are there, anything becomes an opportunity to introduce God. There's nothing in this world, right? There's nothing nothing under the sun or or over the sun that God doesn't know, that God isn't in control of, and that God doesn't have a part in. So all of those things are under the umbrella of relationship. And when there's a relationship in a classroom of trust, right, a culture of trust, we can talk about things that are so clearly God's handiwork. We have those first conversations, and then when students, or coworkers need to hear the boldness of Jesus, they do. But it's those relationships and those trusted friendships that you have that are the beginnings of, well, I guess what I would say, impacting the marketplace.
Amen. Thank you. And the reality is, I know that prayer was taken out of school, but the ability to pray is still available in the school. It just cannot be teacher-led or staff-led, but kids can lead prayer in the school. So I think we need to raise up an army of soldiers, Christian young men and women who know God, believe God, and want to share the good news through prayer, praying for their brothers, praying for their sisters, praying for the believer, praying for the unbeliever, praying for those who stand in need of prayer. And I thank God for each of you men who are here today. It's exciting. Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM. Your host, Dr. Howard, and co-host, First Lady Vanessa Howard. We are so excited to be with you each week, transforming, overcoming, and impacting the world with the gospel. And God, we thank you today for what you've done. We thank you today for what you're doing. And I want to make a statement here before we go into our preacher's corner. God's transforming power. Think about these words. Moses meets God and returns scary. Jacob meets God and returns limping. Saul meets God and returns blind. what was your scenario?
My God.
Think about that for a moment, all the listeners who are out there. Think about that encounter with God, that transformational moment. I know mine took place in 2005 when I was on the verge of suicide and death. The enemy tried to scramble my mind, destroy my spirit and body. But I know that there's a risen Savior that brought me through and has brought me a mighty long way and is bringing me through even now. So somebody out there who is struggling, amen, we are here again, WWDB 860 AM Radio, Total Transformation Radio, our Preacher's Corner. I'm so excited for our weekly Preacher's Corner segment, and it's going to take us out of here. So may God bless you, and may God keep you. And for those who don't know Jesus, we invite you to walk with him and talk with him. Amen.
I'm Reverend Brian McAllister, pastor of Heard AME Church in Roselle, New Jersey. Today, I want to talk to you about putting your faith on display. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 from the New Living Translation read like this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. One of the greatest misconceptions for people in the body of Christ is that we should not be seen doing good works in public. Often, in an attempt to remain humble or in an attempt to remain Christ-like, we hide our good deeds, believing that nobody should know about them but us and God. Consider this. When you are in a store, the store and the store owner benefit from what is on display. If there is nothing being displayed, the general public will move on to something else. The display itself is necessary for the survival of the store. And in any given store, most of the items do not make noise or don't have the ability to talk. The displays speak for themselves. The sermonic presentation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 challenges us to put our faith on display. I want us to pay attention and notice that this is more than lip service. Jesus talks about light, and lights don't have to make noise. They just shine. The light is never displayed so that the light can be praised. But according to Jesus, the light is displayed so that God can be praised. The word for today is put your faith on display. Not so that you can be seen or receive credit. Put your faith on display so that God in heaven will be praised. God is the reason you're shining in the first place. And God wants other people to know through your faith that they can shine as well. God bless you.